Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and a voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth. I'm not making that up. You guys are the horses. Congratulations. I am very happy this afternoon to be speaking to the dream team of sustainability, if I may, here at Providence Day School. We have representation from the upper school, middle school, and lower school, talking with upper school English teacher Jack Hudson, and also middle school science teacher Sarah Goodman, and lower school science teacher Olga Mawugba, about sustainability and the amazing progress that you guys and other people who have been involved have made on this topic.
But knowing all three of you, it's something that has been a part of your lives as teaching professionals, but also just as your values. And so to see that you've been able to broaden it here on this campus, I'm curious to know what it is, just to start off, that you would like the Providence Day community to know about what you're trying to do with sustainability and what obviously all of us should be supporting you in doing. Anyone want to take a first shot at that?
Yeah, go ahead. I think one of the things that we've talked about as a group, even as recently as yesterday, is the idea of rather than our community viewing sustainability as an add-on, we really would like to cultivate a culture of sustainability through education, through exposure, both to our faculty, our parent community, and our students, so that it can be something that is taken and run with, and then the ramifications not only bubble through our community, our school community, but beyond. And so I think a lot of the things that we're looking to do, if you look at them, they're not in isolation, but we're trying to build a culture.
Do you think we have a culture of sustainability? Where are we on the continuum? Are we kind of getting started with this, or are we close to what you would like to already see in place here?
I think in some areas we've just gotten started.
Sure.
I think we have, I don't think it's insurmountable, but I think we have a way to go. I think changing the mindset is a huge step in moving in the right direction. And I'm excited that some of the things that we've started, our youngest students are passionate about and have embraced. And if we look at our school community as those students get older, I think our path gets a little bit easier.
Sarah, I want to know your thoughts on this, because I think Olga is touching on this idea of changing a mindset. We're living in a broader culture and community, obviously. Do you ever feel frustrated? Do you feel like what you're trying to do here is not a part of our broader culture, and maybe our efforts just aren't going to make that big a difference? Talk to me about making that difference. How do you see that?
I think the more we work on it and the more we educate our kids and the broader community at home, we'll get closer to our goals. I think we also are so busy and there's so much going on during the day that we forget the things that we know we should be doing, but we often decide to do something else, you know, with regards to sorting our trash. You know, we know, you know, maybe we should be dumping the cereal in compost and putting the plastic in the recycle bin, but it's just more convenient to throw the whole thing out. So I think it's a little education, getting at home practices going, and I think we'll get there.
Let me follow up with you on that, and anybody can jump in. Can you guys please give us the simplified recycling primer? What are the most common mistakes? You might know something about this, Jack. About recycling, composting, throwing things away. Ready, set, go.
Yeah, sure, I'm happy to. The easiest there is the compostable, and that's anything that came from an animal or plant and is still sourced from animal or plant, so no plastic in there. Paper, bones, meat, we can compost all of that, given the industrial scale composting that happens, that our vendor does. For recycling, that's a bit of a moving target. We are looking at what there is a market to handle and also what the recycle sorting plants can process to get to that market. So right now, what we're looking at for recyclables, you have paper, clean paper products, followed by like your cartons, your milk cartons, your juice cartons that are cardboard. And then cans, whether it be aluminum cans, aluminum is highly recyclable. Steel cans, that shape, the metal, that's recyclable. And then glass bottles, glass is still recyclable. And finally, plastic. And plastic's where we get a lot of confusion. Right now, what's recyclable is essentially your bottles with necks. So it's going to be your number one and number two bottles with necks. And if you want to get a refresher on that or get some posters, get some printouts, some information, you can just Google Charmec and Recycle Right. And there's a big campaign around recycling right because the county actually spends $1.6 million a year to take things that were incorrectly placed into the recycling from the recycling facility to the landfill.
Yes, I heard the term aspirational recycling once upon a mm-hmm. time, which is all those things that people put in there hoping that someone can find a way to recycle it and thereby save the planet, even though nobody should ever put a plastic bag in the recycling, from what I understand, correct?
That's, yeah, absolutely. Plastic bags cannot be recycled through the county process. I have a neighbor who puts plastic bags in his because he thinks that's going to force the county to start accepting that. And, I mean, the issue is just they don't. It can't be sorted out. It can't be sorted out, right, yeah.
And also, I can't compost bones and meat and things like that in my backyard compost because I don't generate enough heat with my small. You said it's because of the scale that we can accept. So just in case somebody wants to take on composting as their New Year's resolution, there are certain limitations in a backyard that
yeah,
we don't have.
In a backyard, you would want to stick to uncooked plant material. If it's cooked, it just has more readily available nutrients. And it's going to attract the critters, the rats, the raccoons, and things that you don't want.
And for those people who aren't composting right now but want to learn how, the sustainability team does a composting workshop at the end of the year where they will build their own compost to bring home bins.
So what else is happening out there? You guys aren't working in a vacuum. This is something that lots and lots of people all over the world are trying to improve. Give me an idea of what are the things we perhaps are thinking about implementing, or maybe some products that you've seen that are out there that we could encourage families to continue consider using. I'm thinking about straws, of course, immediately jump to mind.
Yes.
You're nodding your head.
I'm nodding my head because last year I had some lower school girls, third grade girls, come to me and say they wanted to start a straw initiative in the dining hall. Mm-hmm. And so we planned that, and they presented to the entire third grade. And they had a straw challenge where the challenge was not to use straws, but they collected straws that people would pick up accidentally and use. And that, to me, was an example of an initiative started by the students rather than the three of us deciding what should be done. And I think when students come to us with their passions and they want to put those things into place, those are the things that make the most impact. I had one of the same girls come to me this year and said, well, what can we do this year? We want to start some type of a club. So that's why I was nodding my head about the straws. But in terms of your other question, one of the things that we're looking into this year is how to reduce the use of single-use plastics on campus. And I know that's something that not just some lower school students are interested in, but we've heard echoes from some of the upper school and middle school students as well. So that's something that's not only important to us, but to our student body.
Yeah, if I could just add, I just came from a meeting with, say, a group of about 12 students, the Global Studies Diploma Leadership Board or Advisory Board, and some representatives from my PD Sustainability SOS project. And that's what we were talking about. We were looking at trying to kind of push sustainability a little further along on PD's campus and seeing where the areas that we can kind of maybe urge some change, maybe suggest some alternatives, and single-use plastics is something that they fell on to work on kind of an ongoing project that they want to look at for the next several months. And I know that middle school also has a project on that.
Last spring, the middle school capstone group for environmental responsibility put together a presentation for reducing or eliminating single-use plastics on campus. And so there's definitely a group of kids out there that are passionate about it and want to see changes on campus, and I think we need to listen to them.
And composting. One of my favorite words. I'm sorry, we've been composting at my house for years, and I am still amazed when I see people throwing food into trash cans. Talk to me about that and about the kids' reactions to composting. Have you talked to students who have taken it home and convinced their parents to do it? Have you heard a lot of people say, oh, that's gross, we shouldn't do it? How do people feel about composting on campus? Any thoughts about that?
I'll just jump back to lower school. Yeah. I think the lower schoolers, they're so ripe, for lack of a better word, to learn and to do and to put into practice the things that we communicate to them are important in terms of caring for our environment. In the science lab, we have a compost bin, you know, and so from TKers, we're teaching them what happens when you put your food in there, food scraps in there, what do the worms do? So they're learning about decomposition even at that age. But I know last year we had a trial run of composting so that we could audit our waste and find out what the costs were and how much trash was going into compost. And our lower schoolers, it was just a week, I believe, our lower schoolers wanted to know when that week was over, well, why did we stop? So that's something that I've seen them in the dining hall even now. They're very deliberate and earnest about making sure that the compost goes in the compost bin, and they'll correct one another if something goes in the wrong bin. And so that's why I go back to, if we can get kids started even at the youngest ages, that will go with them as they get older.
Let's assume that we're being listened to by a whole family of Chargers right now. What would you love for that family to hear about this? What can parents do at home? What can kids do at home? In a perfect world, what would PD families be doing around sustainability in their own homes? We've mentioned composting. We've mentioned single-use plastics. What else is out there? Or do you feel like it's already a part of what a lot of your kids are telling you that they're doing at home?
I think it's a part of what some kids are telling us that they're doing at home. I think a lot more can be done. I think it's a mindset, and that's why I go back to education and exposure. I think and reminding people. I think sometimes the message has to be repeated over and over in order for it to be embraced.
Sure. Sarah, what about in the middle school? So lower schoolers, completely idealistic, all on board, right? Middle schoolers, do they bring good ideas to you?
Yeah, they definitely have great ideas, and I think it's been nice seeing the transition from our lower schoolers when we first did our trial run for composting come into the middle school. We've done waste audits 2 years in a row in the Global Environmental Issues course, and this year's waste audit was really fantastic. Most of our trash can be composted or recycled, and really we have very minimal landfill trash, which is good, or waste. The biggest thing that I see is just a little bit of food that's ending up in that landfill waste. But, you know, if we can just hone in on those details, take a little bit more time to separate that waste, you know, we'll have almost zero landfill waste, which is what our goal was.
And Jack, I've seen you auditing trash in the cafeteria for several years now. How are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, to kind of add on to something that both of them already mentioned, that early education, getting kids in lower school when during lunch they got like one-on-one contact with a teacher who can actually effectively teach them, and they're developing the habits of how do they handle themselves, take care of their space. I mean, like this year, if I sit in middle school lunch and I kind of watch as kids come up to sort their waste, I mean, they are doing it correctly, you know, up into 90% of the upper 80s, 90% of the time, versus upper school where they haven't had, you know, two prior years of training. We didn't get them when they were forming their habits. It's a little harder to just get them to have that extra layer of, you know, self-awareness and consciousness when they're doing what they've always done and what you do simply and as quickly as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Get rid of the trash, go on about your day. Middle school waste sorting is right now much more kind of successfully done than upper school waste sorting, and I completely credit lower school and the training that they've done there.
Yay, lower school.
Yay.
And this is the mindset that you're talking
exactly.
about, right?
Exactly.
Which, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the North Carolina Green School of Quality Award. I believe you are one of 20 or so schools in the state to be recognized for your efforts. So clearly things are happening in a big way. I want to ask you about a young lady named Greta Thunberg.
Hmm.
Who
seems
to
is it Thunberg?
We love her.
I had to check the pronunciation. Yes. I'm sorry, but here we have a living example of a teenager who has absolutely grabbed the world's attention around more than just sustainability. I would suggest other titles, whether it's environmentalism or, you know, some of these other big topics. Are y'all hearing things? Are you hearing reactions about what she did at the United Nations and what she is trying to wake us all up about? Anybody want to comment on that?
I think, yeah, of course. Of course we are. If you look, like even like going broader beyond PD, if you look statistically, teens, 20s, the millennials that everybody maligns, right? Like they are more likely to care about these issues, to care about the climate, to care about the environment, to recognize, you know, it's almost even maybe a little selfish on their part, right? Like they want a world that's livable for their future, for their children's future, and that's where the consequences are going to come in. So yeah, our kids are absolutely on board. I have in my club, I have a kid who's vegan now because he's into kind of finding his path to live the most environmentally sustainable life that he can, right? What he sees is this is his moral choice. You do get echoes of it. You get kids who are inspired by, oh, wow, look, there's a teenager. There's somebody my age making international headlines and actually like having an effective activist voice. And yeah, they're inspired.
I think she's a great example. You know, we want these kids to get sparked by something. We want them to do passion projects. And I know they're doing that all over campus. And so, you know, she's a great example to look at, somebody who says, I'm going to be heard, and this is how I'm going to do it. We love her.
Yes, and hopefully her voice is being heard also with the politics being set aside that we can really all talk about what matters. And I think our kids are especially good at distilling that and mm-hmm. recognizing what it is. Sarah, I did a little digging. I noticed you wrote that you love teaching science and you enjoy when your students get excited about nature and being good environmental stewards. Can we talk about the term environmental stewards?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it kind of goes back to that moral compass of what can I do to appreciate the world around me and not be detrimental to it, harm it. And I think, again, some of those things happen just as the consequences of our everyday lives, but there are things within our control and to make those choices to and treat the environment with the same respect as we would treat, you know, our teachers or anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, if I could add to that notion of stewardship, the ninth grade just had a global environmental, or sorry, the ninth grade just had a Charger Impact Challenge, take on some challenges that face the Charlotte community, try to find, like, understand the problems and address solutions to those problems. And the first one is on sustainability. The definition of sustainability we're working on there is meeting present needs without undermining or hindering the ability of future generations to meet their needs. And I mean, at its core, that's what stewardship is, right? You have these resources, you rely on them, you take care of them, but you leave them intact for future generations to use. And that's a like central part of our mission as environmental sustainability coordinators. Ties to the school's mission. Social responsibility is all about maintaining a society, a world, you know, mm-hmm. cultural world, like natural world that we can all live in.
And what I hear you all talking about is balance, finding that right balance, because we all do live on the earth. How about let's just dream for a second? Here we are at Providence Day, and I'll give you a for instance. When I'm on the fourth floor of the Academic Center, I look out on all those beautiful flat roofs, and I just imagine an ocean of solar panels. What would you love to see? And perhaps we can end on this. What would you love to see in Providence Day sustainability over the next few years? Let's dream a little bit.
I would like to see our campus more richly utilize our space in a more environmentally friendly fashion, whether we're talking about rooftops that currently just absorb heat from the sun or more energy-friendly.
Are we talking about light bulbs? Or are we talking
about... I'm talking about solar panels. Uh-huh, I'm talking good. About solar energy. I just think that as our campus grows and develops, there are plenty of ways that we can use current spaces or develop the spaces that we already have in ways that feed into environmental sustainability.
And are those conversations happening?
They're happening among us, mm-hmm. and we're bringing those conversations also to admin. So,
yeah, and I would say we are getting support. We run into logistics, right? We're talking pie in the sky, what are you dreaming?
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, the voices are there, the input is heard, and we're just, you know, waiting for the dream to happen.
And maybe it's not the right question. Maybe we shouldn't be talking big dreams. Maybe what you're doing is the incremental and consistent educating that
and,
you're doing.
And that feeds into the big dreams. I think yeah. the big dreams have to be there so we have some direction, but the incremental steps, they're a necessary part of that on the way to the big dreams. So I think they're both important.
Sure, solar panels would be huge.
Yeah. Sarah, any thoughts?
I would love to see some green spaces up on rooftops, maybe some bees out on the roofs. Just more green spaces, more outdoor lab space for kids to really start connecting and applying what they're doing in science to urban farming and urban development, because that's what we're doing. We're a city. And we live in a city, and there's not a lot of green space here, so we do have to create that space.
Olga and Sarah and Jack, thanks for talking today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcast.